Listen in to the Community Connection Show with Alan Collier every Wednesday from midday to 2pm, where local community groups let you know what's happening right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Hello, this is Gilly and you're on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome back to Community Connections. And now we've had people from each on a number of occasions, and I believe they're going to come back next year, which is terrific, because each is not just one program. They've got so many different programs. I think in the 11 months they've come, we've covered a different program every month. So anyway, that's good. But anyway, I have with me Louise today. Louise is with each, and she's the operations manager involved with housing. Welcome, Louise.
Thanks for having me.
Now we're in business. Pleasure to have you along. Louise, tell us, I don't know, and the audience don't know what the housing is. What is the housing section or the housing program do?
Yep. So the housing program is known as Each Housing, is a subsidiary company of Each. So as you might be aware, Each does a lot of services, NDIS, support for older adults, health, wellness, child, youth and family services, mental health counselling, and then we also do housing. So we're actually...
And you have gambling...
Yep.
And all those
financial counselling, yep. Everything.
Yep. Which is a terrific organisation. Yep.
Yeah, so it makes sort of sense to have housing as a bit of as part of that, because it's housing for people on low income makes sense. And we're a subsidiary company of Each, registered community housing provider. So we're actually regulated by state government by the housing register. So, yep.
So what's your job? Is it to look for people who are homeless and get them into housing, or what actually does Each housing do?
Yeah, so we manage the housing. So we are a landlord, but we consider ourselves a sympathetic landlord. So
you actually own the properties yourself?
Some of them we manage on behalf of the department, and other properties we're head leasing. Right. So we've sort of got a range of properties that we own or manage.
Yep. So how many properties would you manage?
We've got around about 160 properties at the moment. We're delivering a particular program through head leasing for people that have been homeless during COVID. Yep. And that's called the Homes to Homeless program. So, yeah, we've been doing that for people that have really been struggling.
So, Louise, how do you find these people? Do they come to you, or how does this all happen?
So some people come off the public housing waitlist, some people approach us directly, and for other people they were actually in emergency accommodation, as said, during COVID, so they were part of that particular program. We don't have any vacancies at the moment, just in case you've got some listeners that are needing housing, but I have got some numbers if somebody's looking for housing, that might be able to help them.
So if the person's been on, wanting a house... Does the department sort of try to get rid of, or no, I shouldn't say try to get rid of, but try to get them off their books and hand them to you, or is it just the person that says, well, I've been sitting on this thing for 18 months and I haven't gone anywhere, I'll go and talk to Each? How does that happen?
Yeah, so if they've come to us through public housing and they're on the public housing wait list, they might have been there for many years, even up to, 5 or 6 years, and then we would select them from that list if they matched the criteria for the property. So yep. It's a local. So if somebody wanted to house in Ringwood, say, for example, we'd take someone that listed Ringwood as their next option.
So are you looking for long-term solutions, or are they short-term solutions? Do you put them in a property for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and then it's up to them to move on, or do you put them into long-term situations?
No, we don't do crisis housing as such. Right. We're actually looking at long-term solutions, except for the one program I mentioned earlier, is for 18 months, and then they will go into perhaps public housing for long-term.
All right. And they can wind up on those lists for a long while too, can't they?
They can, yeah.
It's what's the problem, Louise? Is it just that there's not enough government-owned properties, or that the landlords don't want some of your clients? I mean, or is it that they can't afford to pay the full rental?
Yeah, look, it's probably all of those things. It's just a real lack of affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We have got some good news on the horizon, and that really comes from state government's just recently announced an investment of $5.3 billion into the development of social and affordable housing. It's known as the Big Housing Build. That'll see the delivery of 12,000 homes across metro and regional areas in Victoria for social housing.
Over what sort of period?
About 2 years. So the crisis, two years before a lot of those are built and available. So it does mean, though, that there's still a crisis in between times, and there'll probably always be a need for housing, obviously. There'll always be a shortage, but it will certainly help what's going to be delivered. So community housing organisations are actually be developing 4,200 of those properties, and we'll manage another 4,000 on behalf of government.
So there'll be about 8,000 available, is that what you're saying?
In community housing, about 8,500 available.
Sure. Are there any private investors involved in these? Because they're not going to get a big enough return, are they? If for the normal investor, isn't it? So it's got to be a government that builds them.
A lot of developers actually have put in for this funding, and will be developing those properties for government. There's spot purchases being done. There's a whole range of initiatives that are actually happening through that funding.
Oh, terrific! All right, Louise, you were talking about housing, and that's what we're here to talk about. You were saying you're always looking for opportunities. What sort of opportunities are you looking for?
We would love to have some opportunities for partnerships with any level of government, philanthropic or private bodies, such as a developer. We'd love to be able to develop some more properties for people, and it can be done through maybe a long-term lease of land, or it could be done through a land donation or a reduced land cost, perhaps through local government. At the moment, we're actually developing properties in Cranbourne and Ferntree Gully. So Cranbourne, we're actually going to be delivering 19 units for affordable social housing, and in Ferntree Gully we're going to be developing 15 units. Five of those are going to be specialist disability accommodation. So to have more opportunities like that would be fantastic.
So in the ones you've talked about, they're obviously being built by a developer, and do they keep the ownership of them, or do they then be handed over to each?
No, we're actually developing those ourselves. So building and developing. So that's why having the opportunity for land would be fantastic.
Yeah. So you're actually looking for somewhere, if someone's got a big parcel of land that they'd like to donate or put you in their will and leave you the land, and then you just go on.
Then we would develop it. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a fantastic opportunity. Yeah. Sometimes local government will allow us to lease land, say for a long-term tenure, maybe 30 years, and we would be able to develop housing onto that land, and then we would give that property back so they haven't actually lost their asset. So there's some of the type of opportunities that might be available.
All right, so would you do that with a private developer too? Or
absolutely,
So you'd take them over, say, for 30 years, and at the end of the 30 years you'd hand them back to the developer if they wanted them back?
Yeah, be fantastic. Oh, more people housed would be great outcome.
You were saying before that you've a head lease. So let's just tell the people what a head lease is.
Yeah, so one of the programs we've done where we have leased properties from private landlords off the private market, and then we actually offer subsidised rent to people, and then they can pay us a reduced rent that they could afford, and there's funding in between that, between what the market rent we paid for, which might be available from government or through some other opportunity.
To take advantage of these, of the housing, do they have to be unemployed, or could just be the low-income workers as well?
Yeah, both. People that are unemployed and people certainly that are just struggling in private rental. Just to give you an idea of what people are facing, so someone living on a disability or an age pension only earns $450 a week, and the medium rent in Melbourne is actually $395.
So
you can see
anything,
there's not a lot to live on in between, so it can affect anybody.
Yeah. Because at one stage years ago, I believe, and I'm not sure about this, that governments can only take a certain if they're the landlord, they can only take a certain percentage of your income, don't they? But if you're a private investor, well, you just ask whatever you want and people either have to pay it or not get it.
That's right. So you pay market rent. Whereas if you're leasing with Each Housing or if you're leasing from government, we usually charge anywhere between 25% to 30% of income, depending on the property.
I was just going to ask you that. I was going to say what percentage?
Yep. 25% is usually the standard for social housing.
Right. But then in the case you've outlined there, it'd be about 95%, wouldn't it? If you were saying what the income was compared to the rent, it's about 95%.
That's right. It wouldn't be affordable. It wouldn't be sustainable if you only had $55 to live on a week.
Yeah.
So that just gives an example of why we need some more affordable housing.
When do people come to you? Where do they come from? Have they been living on the street or have they just... Where? I don't know.
Yeah, so there's a whole range of reasons, I guess, that people become homeless or in housing stress. I guess some of the people that we see mostly can be particularly women that have been renting all their lives and their children leave home and the property's unaffordable. Low-income earners, women affected by family violence, physical and mental health issues, which doesn't allow them to participate in the workforce, and lack of employment and training opportunities. I mean, not everybody gets the same start to life.
No.
So we see a lot of that as well.
I don't want to get sexist. I don't want to be accused of being sexist. Do you find quite a few older women who have maybe been in the workforce and been earning a reasonable income, but for some reason have never been able to afford to buy a house. All of a sudden they're retired, whether it be voluntary or whatever, and so all of a sudden they're on a pension who may very well have been able to look after themselves all their life and all of a sudden find in retirement that it all falls to bits because they haven't got the income. Do you see many like that?
We do, and it is a growing cohort of women.
Is it?
And housing unaffordability is actually a gender issue. Definitely is it. Women don't earn the same amount of super. They don't have the same earning. We're still something like 17% of income less than men. Yeah. So it is a gendered issue, and it is a growing cohort, particularly older women. It's been a really big issue.
What? I don't want to get into particular cohorts, but why would you think it happens more to the older women? Because they just haven't had the opportunity through life or what?
I think they've been earning less. I think it's the super and it's the earnings. And I think sometimes they've been renters and the family do leave home and they're left suddenly with a property that they can't afford the rent, or their super hasn't been as great. So perhaps sometimes they go into retirement with a small mortgage. So we see a bit of that happening as well. But, yeah, it's definitely growing problem.
Because, I mean, one of the things with retirement, you really can't go into, if you're going to live on a pension, you can't go into retirement with a mortgage, can you?
You can't, but it's unfortunate some people are forced into that situation.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing too, that things have changed a bit. I mean, the young, I guess we'll talk about the older woman, or it could be man, could be either. If the children have been living at home and subsidising the rent by paying their share of the rent, all of a sudden they leave home. Now, some of these young people are borrowing $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 to buy a house. So they can't prop mum or dad up, can they? There's no money there to help them.
No, that's right. And, you know, the average price of a house in, say, Ringwood is $832,000. So it's a huge mortgage.
And, well, you'd have to have a lot of money. You would have to have really good savings not to have to borrow at least $700,000, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's right, even to get the deposit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Terrible. That's a problem.
We're talking to Louise. Louise, two things. If a person today is, if a person to come to you to get involved with the housing, A, do they have to come and be the one who comes along and says, hey, listen, I'm in dire straits? Or if we've got listeners today who say, oh, I know somebody that's in that situation, can they come to you on their behalf or does privacy not let that happen?
People can come to us directly. Unfortunately, we don't have any housing vacancies at the moment, but people can sometimes come to us via their support worker or sometimes it's a family member. If they are homeless at the moment, there is a really great app. It's called Ask Izzy. And that's Ask Izzy, and that's an IZZY. And that's a referral for, you know, gives information about where they can go for crisis housing, food, family violence, health, Centrelink, money help, support and legal advice. Or if you're homeless at the moment, a good number to call is Victorian Statewide Homelessness Line on 1800 825 955. If you're really needing food parcels at the moment, some food to get you through Christmas, if you contact the Emergency Relief Line, which is Uniting Crisis Line on 1800 882 500. So there's a few good examples there of where, yeah.
Because one of the things, and I don't want to get this into a gender base, but I believe that over Christmas, very often family violence plays a big part, because you talk to the police and they say that's nearly all they do Christmas Day and Boxing Day is that. And so very often a woman finds herself out on a cold very, very easily over Christmas, which it shouldn't happen, but unfortunately I'm told by the police it does happen.
Yeah, that's correct, and alcohol obviously plays a part in some of that as well. So, you know, to make sure that they're contacting emergency services as quickly as possible and to get that assistance that they need.
Alcohol and sitting around doing nothing doesn't go well, does it?
No, it doesn't. No.
And very often you're putting people together on Christmas Day that don't always get on with each other, do they?
That's right, it happens.
And we should mention too that, and Louise will give you those contact details again, but we should mention that if you are in a crisis situation, whether it be Christmas Day or Boxing Day, or the police are working 24 hours a day, and you should not stay in a dangerous situation. No matter how bad you think it'll be getting out of it, it'll be a downside worse if you stay there, won't it?
Yeah, that's right. Definitely get help.
All right, so I guess, again, we need to mention you're looking for two sorts of people. You're looking for people who will donate you some land so you can keep building these houses, or somebody who wants to partner with you. Do you find many developers who are making quite a lot of money over the years who are prepared to say, well, I could really get $500 a week for this property, but I'm happy to, if I can get $350 or something like that. Do you get many developers that do that for you?
We don't, but we'd love some. we'd love to have that opportunity. And sometimes when they're building larger developments, even one unit in that that complex would be, you know, really helpful to provide housing to someone in need.
Do you ever find a stigma where a developer says, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want a particular from that low socioeconomics in our complex?
I think that's possible. I think one of the things that makes each difference and a really big difference is that we actually do an integrated service delivery. So we're not a standalone housing provider. We have all those services that we can connect people to. So people in our housing are really well supported, and I think that makes a really huge difference to how our housing operates.
Yeah, that sounds fair too. Louise, you gave us some contact details before. Could you give us all those again, please? And we'll get people to get their pens and pencils out and write them down.
Sure. So one of the best contacts is to use an app called Ask Izzy. That gives you connection to housing, food, family
violence. IZZY.
Yeah, it's IZZY, correct.
Yep.
And if you're homeless, the Victorian Statewide Homelessness Line is 1800 825 955.
Is that open 24 hours a day? Or
it is 24/7.
Yep.
That number again, 1800 825 955. If you need emergency relief, like a food parcel or a voucher to get you through Christmas, the Uniting Crisis Line is 1800 882 500. That's 1800 882 500. And if you are in a situation of you're experiencing family violence, please contact Safe Steps on 1800 015 188. That's 1800 015 188, and that is a 24-hour crisis line.
Louise, I guess you'd love to hear from some investors who would like to partner with you to come up with some cheap housing.
Yeah, we'd love to. And I think it's really important that people remember too that we're housing the locals. So we're housing people that you might be living next door to at the moment. So if anyone has reservations about housing people on low income, they're already living everywhere. That's right.
So I guess you're after two things, aren't you? You're really, well, at the moment, if you haven't got any house, available. You're not necessarily looking for people because you can't do much about it if you haven't got them, but you'd really like to get some more opportunities where you can get these people into it.
Yeah, we really welcome those partnerships, particularly, as I said, with all levels of government or philanthropic or developers would be fantastic.
Louise, you've told us at the moment that you don't have any housing available, so it's not much good people ring you up, but each have heaps of programs, don't they? So I guess it's up if we want to find out more about what each is all about, where are we going to go to?
It's probably best to go to our website first, which is www.each.com.au.
There's no full stops between any of it. Each is just the word?
It is.
Yep.
And if you want to contact us, the number is 1300 003 224. If you'd like to partner with us to deliver more housing, that again would be the best number to contact, and we would get back to you straight away.
I bet you would. And are there many, you were saying about the trusts, are there many trusts around that do this sort of thing?
I'm not that familiar with trusts that do. I know the City of Port Phillip, they do a trust, but, you know, that's something we'd also be really interested in as well. That's another great opportunity to deliver housing through a trust.
Well, that's terrific, isn't it? So I guess we've covered the housing pretty well today. Unfortunately, there's just not that many available. But I guess the other thing too, that just because there's no housing available doesn't mean that a male or a female should stay in a situation because there's no housing. Because I guess housing can be made available to people who are really in desperation, isn't there?
Yeah, so that number, the statewide homelessness service line, they would be able to assist someone who is literally homeless or, you know, with some crisis accommodation. They're the best people to contact.
Yeah, because, I mean, the worst thing that can happen is a male or a female, because it does happen to males too, I'm told, staying in a situation and wind up with themselves getting knocked off the perch just because they didn't think that there were other availabilities, because there are options, whether we like it or not. There are options out there, I guess.
Absolutely, especially for women and men affected by family violence. The number I gave for Safe Steps are the best people for a confidential discussion and advice on how to actually leave that situation or what situation, what can be done.
That one you just mentioned, is that a 24 hours a day?
That's 24/7.
24/7. Yep. And that'll still be there on Christmas Day and all those days.
Correct, yep.
Because unfortunately, Christmas doesn't always mean a great time for some people, does it? As we said before.
Yeah, no, that's right. I'm happy to give that number again if you'd like it. So Safe Steps, 1800 015 188.
And I guess if people want to get hold of or have a look at each, your website again, please?
Is www.each.com.au or phone the service access number on 1300 003 224.
Now, is that closing over Christmas?
No, that number will be available.
But that's not 24 hours a day, though.
No, it's not, yeah. No. So, 9 to 5.
I guess the main thing, too, that, and we don't want to get depressive, but if things get out of hand, then 000 is probably the best over Christmas Day boxing.
Yeah, hasn't definitely.
Get the poor old police out there as if they haven't got enough to do. Look, I wish you well, Louise. I hope we can get some developers for you because, you know, I'm told, and I'm not involved in the sector, but I'm told that there's years to wait on some of the state government housing lists.
That's right, yeah.
You know, it's just not, doesn't seem, you know, you can be there for years. So I'm not sure how that happens. You know, obviously the state themselves just, and I'm not having a shot at politics, but somewhere along the line, they're not putting enough money into housing either, into low-cost housing, are they?
No, that's look, it's great that they're delivering. They've committed to you know, the $5.3 billion coming up. And we've got a growing population as well, so there's probably lots of reasons why I've got a housing shortage. But, yeah, we'd love to be able to deliver more. I said we've got the capability and we'd welcome it.
I bet that $5.3 billion doesn't wipe everybody off the list either.
No, but it's a good, you know, foot in the door. Yeah, it's a good start.
Yep. All right, Louise, so what are you looking forward to over Christmas? Do you get any time off yourself?
Yes, I am. Just looking forward to spending time with family. I think after the last 2 years, I think we all appreciate that a bit more.
Are you game enough to go anywhere?
No.
Well, I know a number of people.
Oh, really?
I know a number of people who have said, look, I don't want to go interstate. I mean, they've promised they won't shut the borders and all sorts of stuff, but you just know what could happen, and particularly if you get overseas.
Yeah.
You know, and if a person's only taking 3 weeks annual leave and you get over there for 2.5 weeks and you come back and they've got to isolate for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No, not a good way.
I'm definitely staying in Melbourne.
Not a good way to start there. Louise, look, I wish you well. I hope it you get plenty of more housing, but also I wish each well. We've had a lot of good fun with each this year. And I've spoken to Daniel, and I know that we'll have people back next year to talk about all your different programs. You should look at that website, because I know that from the different people we've interviewed this year, there are just so many facets to each. And I believe you've got a new boss. You better give your new boss a bit of a pat on the back.
Welcome to Natalie Sullivan, who is our new CEO as of yesterday. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to getting to know her.
Big job.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Look, thanks for coming in again. I hope it's a great year for you. I hope you have a really good Christmas time. Stay safe on the road.